Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We are back at it as we get into hour number two of the program, taking you till 8 o'clock this evening. Again, at 8 o'clock, we've got a KMOX Sports Roundtable rolling your way. Myself, along with Tom Ackerman, Kevin Wheeler, and Bernie Miklas. We record these at noon on Mondays, and then we replay it at 8 o'clock. But when we're recording them, it is a live video stream. So if you are looking for something to catch at noon previously on Mondays, you can do that by watching us. Now, the big news that we announced on the show today, starting next Monday, this is going to become a daily endeavor. I think once a week, it is still going to be all four of us together. And the other 4 days, it'll be some combination of myself, Kevin, Bernie, Tom, others who are KMOX sports adjacent. Don't want to commit to any name out there before they've been talked to about it. But yeah, we're going to be doing this every day for about 40 minutes at noon, 12 to 1240, 1245. We went to about 1250 today on it. Got started just a couple minutes late. So make sure you're following along with the KMOX Sports social media channels. And then we've got the replay of this Sports Roundtable coming up coming your way this evening at 8 o'clock. I'd like to hear from you a little bit on this next topic of conversation, because I mentioned this last week. And I'll for those of you who weren't listening, because I know you don't listen to every single second of the show, and that's okay. The truncated version of a take that I passed along last week is, even if the Cardinals do not bring back Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, Wilson Contreras, Ryan Helsley, I can envision, and this is not me being like some homer or some apologist for the Cardinals, it really isn't. And I can back up everything I say. I see a scenario, not that it's guaranteed, but I see a scenario where the Cardinals actually don't take that big of a step back from last year to this year, mainly because what has to happen is to replace the offense of Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado. Obviously their offense wasn't that great this year. Goldschmidt had one of the two or three worst OPSs of any qualifying first baseman in baseball. Nolan Arenado just simply was not driving the ball. Home runs, doubles were not what you want him to be. It's a huge if. I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm saying it could happen. If Jordan Walker takes a step forward, and if Nolan Gorman takes a step forward, you more than make up for the offense that you lost. And the hill that I am more than willing to die on, the one that I think I'm 100% right on, and I'm not worried at being wrong, if Sonny Gray sticks around, not a guarantee. If Sonny Gray sticks around, I think a rotation of Sonny Gray, Eric Fetty, Andre Pallante, and then some combination of Michael McGreevy, Gordon Graceffo, Quinn Matthews can be, if not equal to, at least in the same neighborhood as a rotation of Sonny Gray, Miles Michaelis, Lance Lynn, Kyle Gibson, Steven Matz. And in that potential rotation that I mentioned, I did not mention Miles Michaelis' name, and I did not mention Steven Matz's name. Both those guys are still Cardinals. They might be Cardinals next year. We'll talk about that if that ends up happening, but obviously winds of change are happening. So that's my premise. The idea, now the one area where you take a step back, without a doubt, and I've got no qualms about saying it, if you move on from Ryan Helsley, you are not going to have as good of a ninth inning situation next year. Helsley is one of the two or three best closers walking the face of the earth. You lose him, it's gonna be tough. It's going to be a challenge to get the type of effectiveness as that you had. And the Cardinals winning as many games as they did win this year, largely connected to their ability to win close games and their ability to close things out in the ninth with Helsley. So I don't have an answer for that. I've got an answer for the rotation. I've got an answer for the offense. Don't have an answer for the bullpen and the ninth inning specifically. That would be the area that would most concern me when comparing last year's team to next year's team. So here's my question for you. Last year was a failure for the Cardinals in the sense that the expectations that were set was this was a team that was going to be contending. The goal was to get into the playoffs. They were supposed to be a playoff team. When they made the moves last year, bringing in Sonny Gray, bringing in Kyle Gibson, bringing in Lance Lynn, when they did all of that, the idea was that they were going to be a playoff team. And even the moves at the trade deadline, when they got Eric Fetty and when they got Tommy Pham, they did it for a playoff run. They did not make the playoffs. So in that sense, it was a failure. So let's go to this hypothetical situation that I want to throw out. Let's say the Cardinals are kind of the same next year. Different guys, obviously. It's going to be a lot of younger players. But let's say everything that I threw out happens. The rotation, pretty much just as good. Michael McGreevy and Andre Pallante and maybe a Gordon Graceffo or a Quinn Matthews after a little while, they do a nice job. And Sonny Gray is Sonny Gray and Eric Fetty is Eric Fetty. And the overall output of that starting rotation, very equal to last year's. Offensively, they bring some really smart people into the organization this offseason, and they do a great job of working with Jordan Walker and working with Nolan Gorman, and those guys improve significantly. Let's say all that happens, and they're kind of in the same area. They're kind of in the same area. And for those, you know, flirting with the postseason, above 500, they were 83-79 this past year. Going 83-79 and missing the playoffs on a year where the statement is the goal is for the playoffs, that's a failure because they didn't make it to the playoffs. If that exact same kind of season happens, but with younger players taking steps forward in a year where expectations that are being set are that this is a reset year, a reboot year, a transition year, whatever word you want to use, but that this is a year where the Cardinals are resetting player development and they are trying to look to the future more than they are looking to 2025. If they do the same thing, are you as a fan like more willing to be accepting of it? And what I'm about to ask you to do, let's take John Mozeliak out of the equation here. I'm tired. Bluntly, I'm tired of talking about John Mozeliak. I want to sit here and have a Cardinals conversation, and the last thing I want to see is somebody complaining that, no, you're not willing to accept that as long as John Mozeliak is making the decisions. That's not the conversation we're going down here, okay? Just not what I want to do. And it's my show, so I get to make that call. From a raw standpoint, if in a year where the organization is stated they are looking to reset things and they're not tearing it down, but they're also dropping payroll and giving young guys more of an opportunity, are you going to be more accepting of a season very similar to what the Cardinals just had? Is that something that you would get if we're talking 1 year from now? You say, you know what? In a year where they're trying to kind of turn things around and reset for the future, I'm okay with that. I'm all right. Or is it still just more of, you know what, if they're not a playoff team, this is the St. Louis Cardinals. The St. Louis Cardinals don't rebuild. And if they're not a playoff team, if they're not a team that's built to do something in the postseason, you are just not accepting it whatsoever. So I will, I'll take your phone calls, I'll take your text messages and your tweets. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. For those of you who are listening via the Odyssey app, just click the microphone button and leave a voice message, and we might be able to play that back for you as well. So the question is, under the pretense that it is a reboot year, a reset year, a transition year, would you be more willing to accept a win-loss record similar to what the Cardinals had this past season, as opposed to your lack of acceptance of it this past season because the expectations were set in a very, very different spot? We'll continue that conversation in just a moment right here on KMOX. Back back at it. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Going to take some phone calls here in this segment. If you want to join us, you can do so calling, texting, tweeting. Call or text 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text, or you tweet at me at Matt Pauly on air without me going through the entire diatribe. Once again, the question I have for you. Last year, it was a failure for the Cardinals because while, yes, they did improve and, yes, they were above 500, they went into the season and into the trade deadline very overtly saying that the goal was to be a postseason club, and they were not. If they have the same type of season, if they end up with around 83 wins and they're in playoff contention all season long, but going into the season the expectations are different, and they sell off some players, and there's a bunch of young guys that are playing, and there's a focus on player development. Does the same type of season from a win-loss standpoint from last year to next year, does it look different because expectations are in a different place? Let's grab our first phone caller of the segment. Paul has given us a call. Hey, Paul, you're on Sports Open Line.
Hey, Matt, and I'm super excited about the daily roundtable that you previewed. That's going to be rock solid.
Awesome.
It would be the same type of season, but it would be the glass half full instead of the glass half empty, because I think, you know, we can all admit that we St. Louis fans, myself included, are spoiled because we don't hope, we expect to play October baseball, and it's like a way of life in St. Louis, and that's a very, very cool thing. But we are all, you know, in it for the long haul. The Cardinals' rich history dates back 100 years. We won our first World Series in 1926. There's going to be we survived the 50s and the 70s, some of those decades without any postseason play, but the groundwork, the most exciting thing is, you know, we have to sacrifice by being patient for arguably one more year, 2025, which I am not writing off at all. I'm looking, you know, for the reasons you mentioned with this new hitting coach, you know, who, you know, could make a big difference, and the young talent that at any point in time can come together, and the overhaul of our player development system under somebody like Chaim Bloom, who has been analyzing it for a year, and now he's going to systematically put all the pieces in place, and Mr. DeWitt's going to fund it. He's appropriated the money to make our farm system, you know, one of the best in baseball, and it's going to be good times roll from 2026 on. But 2025 is a unique opportunity to have a gravy year where the Cardinals could surprise the tar out of everybody in baseball and be way better than anyone expected with all these young players that are having their coming out parties. So I am super excited for 25. And the bottom line is we all just have to trust. We got to trust the new brain trust. You know, Mazalek's done a lot of great things. He's in his lame duck period. It's Chaim Bloom, and we all need to trust and buy in to what the Cardinals are trying to do, and I think we're going to be richly rewarded. And I'll hang up.
All right, Paul. Appreciate the phone call. Lots of good thoughts right there. I agree with Paul, especially in the sense that, look, Chaim Bloom has a track record. He has a track record of building minor league systems that develop high-end major league talent. And we can sit here and talk all we want about the Cardinals need to spend more money on the major league roster. But you know what? They're not going to be in the running for Shohei Ohtani when he's a free agent. This past year. They're not going to be in the running when other high-end superstar-level players, like, they're just not going to play in that sandbox. Now, can they spend money on all-star caliber players because they are going to be able to get more out of their homegrown players? So therefore, instead of spending $10 to $12 million on middle of the rotation or middle of the roster type players like Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson, you can kind of pool that money together and bring in more high-level players. That has to be the goal. And I think that is a place that they are going to get to. I'm excited about what could be this season, depending on how things do shake out. Let's grab Raisha, who has given us a call. Hey, Raisha, you are on a Sports Open Line.
Hi, good to be with you. Lifetime Cardinal fan here. And I'm excited for the young players coming in. I'm going to agree with Paul on that one. I'd rather cheer for the guys coming up than kind of hold on and hope for Arenado and Goldschmidt on their downfall. I feel like we need some new blood in the system. But the one thing that I think we need to caution of is we can't have a team of just young guys. As you're watching the World Series and the playoffs this year, you know, all of those teams have some really solid veteran players that have that leadership. And, you know, I just would hope that we can find somebody to fill those roles. I think Contreras is a good guy for that role, but I think it's time for Goldschmidt and Arenado to probably head on out and see what new talent we can bring up.
All right, Rachel, appreciate the phone call. Honestly, Goldschmidt's gone. He's a free agent. They're not re-signing him. I think Arenado is likely to be traded. I think Contreras is likely to be traded. I'm less as convinced on Sonny Gray that he might get moved. But I could be wrong. All those guys could get moved. You have to be ready if, I've said this before, if there is a team out there that comes up empty during free agency and wants to add a high-end starting pitcher and they're willing to give a lot for Sonny Gray, you got to listen. I think what's more likely to happen is, let's say the scenario that I threw out doesn't happen. Let's say next season turns into more disappointment than anything else, that they're not a playoff contending club, that they're not a team that's above 500. If those things happen, I would say that you might even be able to get more for Gray at the trade deadline when there's desperation as opposed to what you would get for him potentially this offseason. Josh has given us a call. Hey, Josh, you're on a Gray Bar Sports Open Line.
Hey, I know you just said you don't think Gray is going to get traded, but my scenario kind of works with Gray getting traded along with Arenado and Helsley. I think if we have, you know, Nootbaar, Gorman, Walker, if they all develop kind of how we think they will, maybe Wynn continues to do his thing. Burleson hits maybe 30 this year, and we have a record around the same record that we did last year. I'd say that as a success. I like what the first guy said with, we view it as a glass half full rather than a glass half empty.
Yeah, Josh, I agree 100%. I want to see these young guys do something. Now, I look at first and third as being open and also second, and you got to remember J.J. Weatherholt's in the minor league system. He was a top draft pick, first-round draft pick this past year. He's going to be in the big leagues at some point this upcoming season, I think. Not a guarantee. He's got to continue to perform in the minors this year, but he at some point is going to get here, and he's going to be your second baseman. Your long-term double play combination at the big league level is Wynn and Weatherholt. Until he gets there, I think the question marks going into next season, the outfield's kind of set, I think. I guess it depends on what happens in center field, if Ciani gets the opportunity, if Victor Scott is able to take a step forward and run with it. But you know it's going to be Walker and Nootbaar in the corners. So that leaves first, second, and third as kind of the open spots going into next season. And I would give Ivan Herrera a first baseman's mitt. So give him an opportunity to play there. Even if Contreras is gone, I still give him a first baseman's mitt. And on days that Pedro Páez is catching, if the scenario plays out where Contreras is gone, I would think that Páez is the lead catcher and Herrera is probably the backup. I give him first baseman mitt, let him play over there occasionally. He'll DH every once in a while. But between first, second, and third, you're going to use some combination on any given day of Herrera, Burleson, Gorman, Donovan, Sejesi. I would contend that group of players can exceed what you got this year from Goldschmidt, Arenado, and whoever was at second. It was Donovan a lot. I think I mentioned Donovan when I said those names. And he's probably the most important piece. And then when Weatherholt gets here, who of those guys has played the best where they're going to get the opportunity to get the most time at third? And it kind of, you know, Gorman's a natural third baseman. Make sure he's comfortable. And he is comfortable, but look at Gorman at third. Look at Donovan at third. and between those two guys. And if Gorman doesn't take that step forward, we got a text message a few moments ago from the 618 that says, I have no faith in either Walker or Gorman. They've shown very little, but Wynn and Siani are great additions. Look, I understand the feeling on Walker and Gorman because of their production this past year, and it was more alarming for Gorman than Walker because Gorman's been around longer. Walker is still more in a development stage than Gorman is. But let's not sit here and say that these guys can't get back on the right track. I wasn't in St. Louis, but man, do I remember the social media clamoring for Nolan Gorman to get called up to the big leagues when he was killing it at AAA before he ever made his major league debut. I mean, you would have thought that the St. Louis Cardinals were the single dumbest organization in the history of professional sports because they hadn't called up Nolan Gorman yet. That's how extreme the fan clamoring for Nolan Gorman was. And I guarantee you, many of the people who right now hate Nolan Gorman are the exact same people who were clamoring for him to get up when he was at AAA. And I would make the argument that he's the same guy. He's the same guy. You gotta figure him out. You gotta unlock him. You gotta get him more comfortable. Gotta get out of his head a little bit. Can't strike out as much. Has to make more contact, but he's still a 30 home run potential guy. He's still the same guy. Just because he hasn't reached his potential yet. We throw players out as, and when I say fan, we as fans, people who are emotional about the game, and there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes you're wrong. I'm wrong about stuff all the time. When I say sometimes you're wrong, like I'm not putting you down. If we go back in the archive of this program, I'm sure you can find some stuff that I'm wrong on. It's because we talk about things that are sort of 51-49 scenarios, right? So we're wrong sometimes. I would say that if you're ready to throw out Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman, there's a pretty good chance you're wrong. I would say that these guys are still guys that can go forward. And the same people who want to throw out Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman are the same people who destroy the Cardinals when somebody leaves the Cardinals and goes somewhere else and excels in a really big way. So instead of throwing out Jordan Walker and throwing out Nolan Gorman and just being done with those guys, how about we say, hey, what can the Cardinals do to help these guys become who we thought they were going to become? And you do that by bringing in smart people. And they did that with Heim Bloom. And they did that with Rob Serfolio. And they're going to do that with a lot more people that you'll never hear of ever. Because the Cardinals are going to get smarter. They got figurehead people who are smart. And smart people are going to hire more smart people. And it's just going to be a trickle-down effect of more smart people. And smart people are going to look at Jordan Walker. They're going to look at Nolan Gorman. And they're going to say, we can do X, Y, Z. And if they will listen to us, there is a good chance that they are going to be better. Now, it's on the player, too. And I think Jordan Walker at times has not listened. He has not listened. I think it's been frustrating for some people in the organization that there are some obvious things that Walker needs to do better. He needs to elevate the ball off the bat. That is a very simple thing. He hits the ball so gosh darn hard, but he doesn't elevate it. Elevate the flipping ball. Elevate it. And all of a sudden, you become an impact middle-of-the-order run producer. And that's what has to happen. Jordan Walker has to be willing to listen to that conversation. Text message from 313-303. When asking, are you willing to accept a step back year from the Cardinals, but be more positive about it because they're in the middle of a rebuild? Says, no way. The Cardinals don't rebuild. They reload. We're not the Rockies. I'm a fan who's moved from St. Louis to Colorado. Rockies fans are used to losing. That's what they expect. Cardinals fans are not ready for promises. We expect contenders every year. No way. I would say to you, yes, Cardinals fans expect contenders every year. And what they're trying to do right now in getting the player development system up to date is they are trying to create a scenario once again where they can indeed create contenders on an every year basis. We'll keep talking about this, getting some other messages in here. So we'll take a quick break and continue on in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back out on Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX, having a good conversation about the Cardinals and expectations and what you are willing to accept in a year that's kind of a reset, reboot. Well, they're not calling it a rebuild. They're not really calling it anything. I think reset is the word that they've used most often, but that's been more in the way the player development system has been resetting the player development process, not so much talking about the Major League roster. But John Mozeliak, when he spoke to the media last week, did say that the expectation is that there's going to be many, many opportunities for younger players this upcoming season. Continuing to take your thoughts on all of this, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. We'll go back to the phones. James has given us a call. Hey, James, you are on a Graybar Sports Open Line.
Hey, Matt, how are you today?
Doing all right.
Hey, I just had a question for you. My son plays a lot of baseball, and he's really excited about a whole bunch of other players, but unfortunately, I don't hear him talking about many other St. Louis players like we experienced with Ozzie Smith and Willie McGee. So I was just wondering about your take on this stuff.
Yeah, that's interesting because, I'm 42 years old, and I grew up loving Ozzie Smith. I grew up knowing those, you know, that era of players. And then I really fell in love with the game of baseball in the mid-90s as I was going from, you know, middle school into high school. I always talk about the 96 Cardinals team as being the team that I really fell in love with. And I can give you that lineup if you really want me to right now, but that's not neither here nor there. The Cardinals have two potential Hall of Famers on the roster this past year, and Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado. But you know what those guys don't have as Cardinals? They don't have major postseason success. So the excitement about these superstar caliber players, there's not like these big moments in the postseason that go along with them. Now, people can think to Albert Pujols and Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright. It's very recent that the Cardinals do have those type of players that I think get young people excited. The guy right now, I'm seeing it all the time. I am seeing it all the time when I'm around kids, when I see kids. You know, I'll sit at Busch Stadium where we have our little broadcast booth where I do the pre and post game show. It's right down in the bottom, basically like behind the green seats. So when people are being brought on, whether it's to do parades or be honored on the field or whatever, they walk by my window. You know who I'm seeing kids get real excited about right now? It's Mason Wynn. It's easily Mason Wynn. Plays a position in shortstop that's a high-end, flashy position. Plays the game in a really fun way. Like, man, this man does some things that are pretty special. And he's got kind of an aura about him. I mean, that's part of why I don't want to turn this into a Mason Wynn versus Jordan Walker thing. I'm really not. But I think in many ways you can compare the two personalities. Mason Wynn's personality is if there's a challenge in front of him, he's going to say blanket. Not like something you put on yourself when you are sleeping, but blank it. And he's going to run through that wall, whatever stupid cliche you want to use. Where I think Walker's got a more reflective, take a step back. Hey, I've been doing this way and it's worked for me. I need a really good reason on why I should change. And if it's not a good reason, I'm going to keep doing things my way. Like, I think the personalities are very different. When charging, going forward, nothing's going to get in his way. Walker, take a step back, assess the situation. Maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do that. I think the personalities are different. And I think the personalities, in a way, impact who they have become as players. Now, I know that wasn't the question that was asked. It was about, you know, kids, next generation of baseball fans, getting excited about a next generation of Cardinal. I think there are players on the way who are going to kind of fit into that conversation. You know, Tink Hentz, dude's electric, right? And I was actually thinking about this. Kyle Sixta is our sports producer. Let me throw this at you. I almost don't want to say this on the air because I may be so wrong that I don't want there to be a record of me being so wrong. If the Cardinals trade Ryan Helsley, should Tink Hentz be given an opportunity in spring training to compete to be the team's closer next year?
It's interesting because he definitely is the stuff to be a late inning bullpen guy, like just a dominating fastball, great secondary stuff. And he's never thrown a bunch of innings, like I know we've talked about before.
Never so gotten over 100 innings.
He's the makings for someone who's nasty at the end of your bullpen.
Yeah.
It's worth a look. I would definitely agree with that.
Okay. Because, I mean, here's a dude that hasn't been able to stay healthy every year, hasn't thrown a lot of innings, hasn't gotten past double A. Like, there's a lot of reasons of me saying that I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But the dude's stuff is so good. And if you're going to give opportunities to young guys and you're going to move on from Ryan Helsley, why not? And if it fails spectacularly, so be it. He can go to AAA and he can do his thing and he can reset. And that's the opposite of what I say. Like, I made the argument that it was terrible that Victor Scott was on the big league roster, and I think he regressed as a result of him being on the big league roster. So I'm talking out both sides of my mouth right now. I'm well aware of it, and I don't even like it because I like being consistent in what I talk about. But I let's see what you got.
Yeah, I agreed. Long term, though, I definitely want to give Tink Hentz a shot at being a starter. Like, he deserves that, you know. Obviously, the stuff is great, and if he turns out to be awesome out of the bullpen, then we can roll with that. Yeah. But I think at some point, it's at least worth a shot, you know.
Yeah, and see what he does in spring. He's going to be in Major League spring training. He has stalled out a little bit. But yeah, so that was the young. I think Tink Hentz is another guy that when he gets here, young fans are going to enjoy. Thomas Sejesi. Okay, so I was on a Cardinals caravan with Thomas Sejesi. I can tell you, just him talking and like his look and his aura, he's got kind of this cool guy thing going on. There were younger people were. I'm gonna use the word attracted because I can't think of a better word. But it wasn't like, oh, this guy looks good. It's just like younger people, as they were watching and talking with him, they seemed to be drawn. Drawn's the better word. Drawn to him. That's the word that I want to use. But the bottom line in all this is they got to perform. Mason Wynn performed. If Mason Wynn was a terrible shortstop, the young fans that I talk about loving him, they wouldn't love him so much. But he performed in a really big way. And he's probably going to win a gold glove because it's pretty spectacular what he's doing. And shortstop, going back to Ozzie Smith, that's a position that if you really want to fall in love with a guy and really enjoy as a kid watching from afar, shortstop's the position to do it. All right, one more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this edition of the program. It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Back at it as we've got just a couple minutes left in the program, but just because we are done doesn't mean the sports talk ends, and it also doesn't mean that you are completely rid of me, although you'll have me plus, which is better, because you're going to get Kevin Wheeler, and you're going to get Tom Ackerman, and you're going to get Bernie Miklas. They are going to join me for a KMOX Sports Roundtable. We recorded it today at noon, and we've been doing that every Monday here recently. And we were given permission by the bosses today to officially announce that the show is moving from a one-day-a-week roundtable to a five-day-a-week show. So starting this Monday, November 4th, baseball season will be over. First day of the college basketball season. SLU basketball, by the way, that day is going to play right here on KMOX as we are the home of the Billikens. But starting this Monday, every day at 12 noon, we will have our video stream show. One day a week, probably Mondays. That's not for sure yet. One day a week. It's going to be all four of us with Kevin Wheeler, Bernie Miklas, Tom Ackerman, and myself. And then the other 4 days a week, it's going to be some combination of two or three of us going through things. So start to make that part of your lunch routine. You can watch it live. Of course, it's always going to be available archive on the KMOX Sports social media channels, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, wherever you happen to go. You can find it right there. And yeah, that's what we've got starting next Monday. That's going to be an every day sort of thing. But tonight, in about 10 minutes or so, just after the 8 o'clock news, we are going to have our roundtable from earlier today. Hopefully, you're going to be able to enjoy it. Here's how committed Tom Ackerman is to this. Tom had like a medical appointment today. I'm probably breaking HIPAA violations by telling you this. And he rushed out of his doctor's appointment. I think it was just like a yearly physical, by the way. I don't know for sure. Here I am sharing Tom's medical information. Sorry, Tom. Hopefully I have a job tomorrow. And he rushed out of his doctor's appointment and got into his car and joined the video stream right there. So if you see video of it, you see Tom in his car. But yeah, that is how committed Tom Ackerman is to these programs that we are going to be doing. So that is on the way next. Thanks for being tuned in. I'll talk to you again tomorrow for another Sports Open Line here on KMOX.